Wow. Well, in England, in DLA, man, that's so good. Do excuse, please, my accent. I'm sure there'll be a few words that you won't, what was that? Or even just mannerisms, different sort of, not that much different church, but, you know, things of that nature. Pastor Paul and Margaret, thank you so much for advising us. We have been looking forward for some months now. I contacted Paul a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, and so it's great to finally be here. Debbie and I will be married, yes we are married, 38 years, and as you said, three great sons, best of friends, all love God, and we're so grateful. I grew up in a home that was very fractured. I hated my father, I couldn't wait to leave home, and when I was 17 I left, living then in Christchurch, and went over to Sydney, to King's Cross, which back then especially was a very wild place. And the police followed me around regularly. I wasn't a Christian, of course. But I thank God I met with Jesus and he changed my life. He put a love in my heart for my father and he put a fire in my spirit. And I thank God by his grace that fire is alive today. And as we go on with God, it's so important to feed the fire. Feed the fire. I think it was William Booth, that great man of God, who said, feed the fire, because the nature of fire is to actually die out. So it's great to be with you. Thank you for allowing us to come. And I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to share God's word together. Father, we want to thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you that as brothers and sisters across, Lord, the miles, we can join hands and join hearts this morning and share around your word. Father, we pray. Speak, Lord, to each of us. Give us something that we can take away today that will feed us, and you'll help us to put it into practice and receive and give blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we had that passage from Matthew 24. Some of that stuff's pretty strong in that passage, isn't it? Oh, a bit scary, really. Well, here I am. I'm going to talk a little bit about Matthew 24. And the theme I'm talking about is, in uncertain times, God has a plan. He has a plan. He really does. And it is so true, isn't it? The uncertainty of the age in which we live. Particularly here, if I may say, in Great Britain. I mean, I do a bit of currency trading. Does anyone happen to do foreign exchange trading? Well, I do. And that great British pound, man, that's a challenge. That and the euro, I tell you. And but anyway, with the Brexit thing, and I don't know if you watched David Cameron the other night. It was very interesting to see that and hear something of his background and so on. But the uncertain times that come our way, the passage that we just looked at in Matthew 24, it says that Jesus was talking about the last days. We live in the last days. It has not got far to go.
Yeah.
And we need to be ready. And we need to be understanding of the time in which God has placed us on this earth. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, wow, when is this going to happen? And Jesus runs through some things with them. That there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, now, this is New King James, not NIV, but anyway, pestilences, and these are just the beginning of sorrows. And he goes through numbers of things that clearly relate to turbulence. We live in a world of turbulence. And I want to say this, that at the end of the day, God is in charge. And God allows things, even bad things, he allows at times for a good purpose. And I believe that God has allowed the turbulence that Great Britain are experiencing, that New Zealand, that frankly many Western countries, America particularly, are experiencing, and it's for a purpose. It's not without reason. And Jesus said these words. He said, but whoever endures these sort of things will be saved. And then he goes on, verse 14 of Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. God has a plan. God's plan in turbulent times is to protect and look after his people And it's also to stir up and make insecure those who don't know God. And they start to seek out and search for answers in life because life has become so insecure and so stirred up. I remember many years ago when I mentioned I'd left New Zealand and I was living in Sydney, and I was out one day on Bondi Beach. Have anyone heard of Bondi Beach in Australia? Pretty well known. And there I was, and I'm out there on Bondi Beach trying to get a tan. These two people come up to me and they began to talk to me about God. I thought, what? Do people do that? And I grew up an atheist. My mother was an atheist. My father was an atheist. I was an atheist. We went to the atheist church. No, they don't have churches. We were atheists. And so, you know, I had rejected all that. But I had left home going through interesting things in life and probably growing up as well. And they talked about God with me for about 20 minutes on Bondi Beach. And at the end of that time, I said, wow, what you say really makes sense. I didn't say it like that, I was more guarded. I said, what you say, yeah, it's reasonable. But I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know? And I said, but I am not ready yet. I'm quite up front, and I told them why. There's a few things I'm not going to mention I was involved in. And I said, and frankly, I don't want to change. But you know, and that was the end of the conversation. I've never seen them again all those years ago. Well, I finally run out of money, and I have to come back home, back to my father and mother, out of money. And anyway, there I am. I'm now at Teachers College. And this has started the process, a search in me for the first time in my life. And I began to look into Eastern religion, religions of the world. And I think I remember going to the Christchurch public library, looking at all the volumes on religion, and think, man, where do I start to find out about this God thing? And I didn't quite know where to go. And when I was at Teachers College, on the very first day that we as students were being inducted or whatever, the principal of the college, Dr. Mann, said this: over these 3 years you're going to be here, some of you are going to have life-changing experiences. And I thought, man, I hope that is me. I hope that is me. And I can remember going through that time, and I was now trying to live a good life because I thought, well, there must be a God. I would like to know him and please him or whatever, but I don't know who he is. And so I went on a Monday night to a movie, an old one, called The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And I saw this movie, and I saw Charlton, or Moses, he holds out his rod and the Red Sea parts. I thought, oh wow, that is such power. Man, that's the power I need. I've got sin habits, I've got addictions, I've got things I cannot deal with. They are just too hard and too big for me. 2 days later, on a Wednesday, I went from time to time to a Christian meeting. I was invited by the Christians at college there. I went to a meeting, and this guy was talking, and he was sharing the testimony. A friend of his, someone he knew, got a miracle healing from cancer. Had gone before a board of doctors in Wellington, and it was a bona fide miracle. And I thought, wow, that is the same God. And at that point, I went up to the guy to say, you know, nice talk. And you know what? He gave me a great big hug. I thought, oh, I belong. I'm one of them. It was so important. I knew this was the reason I was born. It was to meet with this Jesus.
Yeah.
And I took note of the time to the minute on my watch. And my parents thought, well, he's tried this and he's tried that and all these things. This is like them. And I thought, oh no, this is different. I've met with the creator of the whole universe.
Yeah.
He's in my heart. And I tell you, it set me on fire. The church I was saved in was called Sydenham Assembly of God. We had an English pastor, Dennis, I think of his name in a minute, it was such a long time ago. I'll think of it, but Dennis Barton, yeah, he was a great evangelist. You know, at that time, every single Sunday night, we would see 20 people saved, week after week, month after month. And I mean radically saved, born again, God was moving. And I believe he would have been moving here in England at that time as well, because of the Jesus Revolution. The charismatic renewal was all on and God was moving. And I thought this was normal Christian living. I did not realize that it wasn't. It's actually been a bit different. But that went on for a long time until the church, sadly, had a terrible split. Well, that finished the revival, unfortunately. So I believe that God is once again stirring the world, getting people ready, because a great harvest is coming. You know the parable of the sower and the seed. There's all different soil that is sown on, or sown into. And one is a wayside, and I guess the soil when it goes, the seed when it goes into that soil just bounces off and doesn't go very far. Another soil has a lot of rocks, another soil has a lot of thorns, you know. And what is the soil of our hearts? And what is the soil of the hearts of our neighbors that don't know Christ? Remember they spoke to me on Bondo Beach? I said I'm not ready. But 12 months later, God had been shaking me up. They'd been breaking up in my relationships. My job had finished. I ran out of money. And these life events had begun to soften the soil of my heart. Right now, God is softening the soil of your neighbor's heart. Where you live, where you work, where you walk around, whatever you may be doing. God is at work right now with a purpose. And the first step, I believe, if you look at that passage in Matthew 24, before the gospel is preached, bringing the end time harvest, is there's sorrows, there's shaking up, there's all this turbulence, but it's for a purpose. It's to bring in a great harvest. And I believe the harvest in this day will be far greater. You know, God will win the day. The devil's not going to have his way in England or Great Britain. Jesus Christ is Lord of this nation, isn't he? Yeah. He's God here in Deal. And he will have his way. And he says, hey, will you join me? Will you be part of the team? And when appropriate, share the good news of Jesus with somebody else. It's the best thing that we can do. You know, think about the early church when it began. Some days after Christ rose from the grave. We know the story well. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were there, they were praying together, seeking God in one place. And suddenly it says there came a sound from heaven. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were praying, they were moving in the Spirit. And then it says Peter stood up with the 11, lifted his voice and said, you men of Judea, and all you guys who dwell, women who dwell in Jerusalem, and receive my words. And he preached Christ. 3,000 souls were saved. They weren't just praying. They weren't just sharing their faith. No, they were doing both. We need both to be effective. We really do. And I want to, if I may share this, I have found personally the blessings of God increase in my life as I give out to others. You know, that happens in any area of service. It particularly happens if you do want God's blessing on your life. It particularly happens when, with God's help, you can just share something with someone who doesn't yet know the Lord. And they're on their journey, and they're on their process. So those 120 people there in the upper room, they began to move in great power. God was on the move. I just say, God, give us passion. We have the best news on the planet. Is there any better news than what we have? I don't know of any better news. I mean, you know, I'm sure New Zealand are going to win the World Cup rugby, right? That's really good news. I hope anyone watched the game yesterday. Oh, please be well, that was tough, but we got there. And did anyone watch the Cricket World Cup final? No, cricket is here. One. Yes. Whoa, we were wrong, weren't we? It was a great game. It was a great game. No problems at all. It was really good. But no, we seriously have far, far better news. They talk about the passion of sports players and things like that. And a while ago, there was a guy called Phil Baker who lives in Perth, and he invited the head of the atheists to come and speak to the group of pastors at the minister's fraternal. So that's the sort of thing he would do, apparently. So the head of the atheists in Perth, Australia, comes to this group of pastors. He said, I feel a bit like a lion in front of a whole lot of Daniels. And then he said this. He said, as he went on, this is what he really said at the end of the day. This is an atheist talking to pastors. If what the Bible says is true, if there's a heaven, if there's a hell, If Jesus is God's Son, and he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, why is there no passion in the church about this? Well, I just say, God, please, please, Lord, please help me with my fire and my passion. Because it's at the end of the day, it really is fire and passion that moves something, sees a shift in society. And that shift is one person at a time. And it starts with me. It starts with all of us. You know, these guys who play their rugby and their league and football, and you know, they've got great passion about something that we can all see and appreciate, but it's really very, it's not going to last a long time. A career in football or rugby is a very short thing. But this is for eternity. This is the best good news that there is. God is going out of his way to allow things to be shaken. They're not right. We're not saying the rights and the wrongs, but God is behind the scenes, shaking up things for an eternal purpose. And I want to share, if I may, just four keys to reviving passion, to keeping passion, sharing our faith. But they really apply to any area of Christian life. The first area is that of prayer. And I love the service and appreciate some of the things. I love the Bible reading and memory verses. They are so important in life. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, "The harvest truly is great," Jesus talking, "but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Harvest and prayer go together. See, prayer gives us focus. I try every day to pray for my family, to pray for my neighbours and my hairdresser. I don't work with too many non-Christians. I don't have a church staff, so there might be some unsaved there, but you know, we're watching out for them. But you know, I would spend maybe anywhere between 1 minute, if I'm in a hurry, to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time. God can do amazing things with short prayers if you're really focused in and saying, "God, I need help today. Please, Lord, I pray for salvation." And we're staying with my sister at the moment, and she doesn't yet know the Lord, but we're praying for her every day, and we're just trusting God to guide and lead that process for her to get saved. So prayer gives you focus. It releases God to open doors, and you'll be surprised what God will do. And it reminds us to keep the main thing the main thing. You think about the words that Jesus spoke just before he went back to heaven. Now imagine if it was very close to my death, and you're all my friends, and you're gathered round to say goodbye. What do you think I might be saying? Do you think I'd be saying, "Oh, look, Harry, please make sure you put the cat out at night. We want the carpet kept clean. And whatever you do, the rubbish is Thursday night, don't you?" Would I be saying those things? No. I'd be saying what was really important, you know. Well, what was the last thing that Jesus talked to us, the church, about? It was, "Be my witnesses." It was, "Go into all the world and share the good news. Make disciples." This is the thing that's on his heart. Worship we can do in heaven. A lot of teaching, I'm sure we will have in heaven. There are a lot of great things. But the lost will not be in heaven. They won't be there. This is the one opportunity that God has given to us to reach out to the thing that is so on his heart, sharing the good news. It really is. So prayer keeps the main thing, the main thing. We can do so many things in life that are all good, worthy things, but let's not forget what really counts, what really matters. Your unsaved family member, unsaved person at school, university, work, they need Christ. They need Christ. Some years ago now, I had an issue with a detached retina in my eye, and I was at the hospital, and it's such a process. You go so many things, and you go through these nurses and whatever. And then went over there, and we got talking to this nurse, and it's such a busy place. You know, there's so many people, and you rush through to the next person to meet before you get to the specialist, and on it goes. And so you've really got probably 4 or 5 minutes. Well, we got talking to this lady, and I made a point of telling her I was a pastor, and my son was a pastor. I like to introduce God into my conversation. And she goes, "Oh, really?" Guess what? She wanted to know more. And she asked so many questions. About 25 minutes later, she let us go. She was like ripe fruit that was just there. The thing that's very sad in that story is there's a dear friend of ours, of Debbie and me, and she's a pastor's wife who's a nurse, who works in that hospital, who this lady knows. And from what we can tell, not once had this dear Christian lady, not once has she shared anything about God with this woman that was so open and so ready. I think that's really sad. I'm not condemning her, she's a lovely Christian. But there is ripe fruit around. It is there. People are there. People are open. Jesus said, "The harvest is ripe. Therefore pray." If you will invest even a minute a day, just pray and say, "God, please guide me today." Try it for 30 days. Try it to about the 22nd of October. Just see what God will do. You'll be surprised, I believe, and amazed. So number one, for passion, is pray. Number two is go. Go. Jesus said, this is scary, I know. Go into all your world and preach the gospel. You know, I try and regularly get out and share my faith. Of course, we got a few Uber cabs in London, and naturally, I am bringing up about God in the conversation. Now, how do you bring up God in a conversation and it's natural? Because isn't the worst and most embarrassing thing is to push this into the conversation? It doesn't relate in any way, and they're not interested, or that. You know, that's not nice. I don't know about you, I hate rejection. Does anyone hate rejection? I don't know, it's just the worst, you know. So, Ray, tell us what you do to introduce God into the conversation.
I didn't expect this. I have two areas where I inevitably share the fact of my love of God. One is, for years I've banked with church money. So I know the girls in the bank, and very often they say, "Did you have a nice weekend?" And I say, "Yes, it was wonderful in church." And tell them what happened. Not much reaction, but I guess it is. The other one is, you know, I'm getting older, and most people are surprised that I'm 80 now.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And they say, "You're 80? And I say, "Yes, because I've worked with God all my life. I've kept my good looks." I had to see a specialist who came to see him later in this month, the same fellow, I assume. And he said, he looked at me and he said, "Are you Mr. T?" I said, "Yes." "Well, I expect to see an old man." That's why I'm an old man, but I've walked with God all my life.
Right.
Yes. So I do this all the time and try whenever possible to mention the fact that God's important in my life.
Thank you.
And I encourage each one of you to do the same.
Thank you, Ryan. It's so good. It's excellent. See, what I love about that, it's so natural, it just kind of flows. So when we were there, I just used the thing that's at the time that's applicable. And so, for example, I just say to the person, I say, "Oh, we're in England here, we're doing a conference, a Christian conference, mention the church." And I just say, and that's about all I say. Now, that's pretty safe, isn't it? That isn't going to invite a strong reaction. That's not going to invite massive rejection. But it introduces something of Christianity into the conversation in a natural way. Because often, breaking the sound barrier as you go is the hardest thing, isn't it? And you're thinking, "Oh, what do I have to say?" Just ask God give you something supernatural, like very easy, and you can just introduce it at virtually any time without thinking, like how Ray is doing there. And so when I'm in Auckland, it's very much the same. You know, I remember I was having coffee with a guy from our church, and I got went and got the coffee for him, and I was just getting served by the lady who owned the cafe, and she was paying, and we were chatting away quite well. And I don't even remember what I said, I'm just trying to think, but it was very natural what I said to her about God, and I brought God into the conversation, and I'm taking a bit of a risk, but because we're chatting and getting on, and I'm paying good money, right, for my coffee, so she, you know, she will listen a lot more. We got talking, and no, she's not a Christian, doesn't go to church, but just recently, her 11-year-old daughter got saved. You're reading the Bible every night and saying, "Mom, come to church." Isn't that God? You see, if you are open to going, God will set up all these wonderful things for you. And you'll just think, "Oh man, God is so with me." And it will just bring joy to your faith and a whole level that God wants for you to have. And it doesn't have to be hard or tricky. It doesn't have to be that way at all. And as you go, remember this, that you're only looking for the people who are ready right now. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed. There's four different soils. Three of the soils, they're not ready for the seed. But the one, the good soil, is ready. When you share your faith, you're saying, "God, all I'm looking for is the person who's open right now today. If they aren't open, I don't get bothered, because I know their time may well come. But I'm looking for the one who is ready today." And so when I share something, and like that nurse, they say something back, they're interested, then we can have a conversation. If they're not interested, I don't push. You don't have to, because their soil, their heart, they're not ready. So otherwise they get harder. You don't want that. So you just leave them, you thank them, and that's the end of the conversation. You don't have to go any further, but you're looking for soft soil and ready soil. And just to change the picture now, I grew up a very keen sportsman, and I play a lot of sport. I play tennis. Any tennis players here at all? In deals? Oh, good. Well, actually, I only play golf now, so it's like a package, but that's okay. I also keep up with my son. My middle son, so that's good. But you imagine this in tennis, what do you do to start the point? Someone serves the ball. Okay, you are serving the ball. When you raise Christ or church in your conversation, you are serving the ball into their court. If they don't serve the ball back, that's it. You've got no game. So you don't need to keep going. Just relax. Go and pray for them. You know, their time is not ready. But if they are interested, their eyes light up, or something happens, or you just really sense it strongly in God, or they ask a question, which is best of all, they have given you permission to share further. You see, they have to give us permission. And so respecting them is where they're at is so important. So on our taxi drive to get to the train station in London, we had an amazing conversation with this Muslim guy, and he just wanted to talk and talk and talk and talk, you know? People are open, but you don't know until you serve the ball. You don't know until you sow the seed and have a go. So go and just do something that's minor and small, but it brings Christ into the conversation. A great harvest is coming. God is stirring life. He's preparing people across this nation and in Deal as well. He's preparing them. The Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Right, just looking at my time. Okay. So, God has a plan in uncertain times. There will be coming hundreds of thousands of people, and including this church, and it won't be big enough. You'll have multiple services. God is going to move. It's going to be so exciting. It'll bring its own set of problems, but that's all right. They're the best sort of problems to have. You know, just take any opportunity. You'll be surprised. This is a silly story. It is true, okay? I was driving to church one day, a long time ago now. I used to do the song leading worship back then. And I was late, and I was speeding. And I have a propensity, got to watch that one, bit of a weakness. I was driving, and guess what? Police officer pulls me over. Oh, sad. And so I'm there up on the Great North Road, not far from church, about 2 or 3 minutes drive, and the policeman's pulling me over, and as he's pulling me over, all the music worship team went past, watching me like this. So anyway, the officer says to me, "Why were you speeding?" I noticed you were speeding. Why was that? Well, guess what did I tell him? I said, "Well, I'm late for church." So he says, "Oh, really? What church is that?" And I said, "I named our church up there." "Oh, okay. Look, don't do it again. I'll let you off, but don't do it again." So get up there. Team applaud me, come in, I had the key, open up, away we went. Guess who was in church with his wife next Sunday? Traffic officer and his wife. Guess who I do a pastoral visit about 3 or 4 weeks later? The police officer and his wife, and we laughed about it. Yeah. You just don't know what God will do. Even our, you know, our foolishness, God can turn it. It's all about taking this and using it for his glory. Using this tongue for his glory. It's just getting out of the boat. One little step. You'll be amazed. Pray. Go. Speak. And you'll be thinking. Third point. Relax. You don't have to be me. Some of you may be flaming evangelists that are, you know, every turn. Well, yeah, you probably need to just be wise too. But just be who you are, because that's who God made. He doesn't want you to be some incredibly amazing. You are amazing. Just be who you are, and God will use you. He's designed you. But if you will pray, he will guide and he will lead. Also, once I remember sharing Christ with a guy, and I felt he was so close, but he didn't want to pray the prayer and invite Jesus into his life. So what could I do? I just lived at that. 3 months later, I met him at the shopping mall. He's got saved. He's now in a church. I was part of that team that we got him there. You're part of the whole team. And your job and my job is to shift them from one point to the next point. We don't have to take them 10 stops, right? No, just one step at a time. Some of us will be reapers. Some will be sowers. God says in John 4, verse 36, sowers and reapers rejoice together. Why rejoice together? We get the same reward. It's not the person up the front having this big altar call. People come down. We think, oh, they're getting amazing rewards. What about all the people who did all the work beforehand? You think God forgets them? Oh, no. No, we're part of the team. And so because we're part of the team, we don't have to work, you know, so hard and put such pressure on ourselves and on the other person. Just bring them ready forward one step. So we share in the rewards. There's a lady in our church. She almost never says anything, but she sees lots of people get saved. Do you know why? Because she runs round. And she picks them up and she takes them shopping and she brings them to church and she brings them meals. And she's full of good works. And many, through that love, they come to church. They get saved. You see, God will flow through you just as you are. So it's not about being somebody else. It's just you being you and God flowing through you. The fourth and final point this morning, as we start to wrap this up, the fourth key to fresh passion is to feed it. Feed it any way that you can. Read a book on sharing your faith. I have a little post called The 1 Minute Evangelist that I do on Facebook and Instagram. You're welcome to have a look on that. Get involved in a small group. I'm the life group pastor. We have lots of life groups in our church. And one thing I want every group to do is have a goal of that year to see at least one person saved through that group, either through praying for them every week or sharing to them and then praying again, but having a goal and a focus. So why do you say, God, give me a goal? What would the goal be, Holy Spirit, that you would have for me? Is there a goal that God wants to give to you? And between now and the end of the year, Perhaps it's a, Lord, with your help, help me four times to introduce Christ into the conversation. It might be a practical goal. Father, I just feel you saying to me, I'm to go and mow their lawns, my neighbour's lawns who are not well, or bake a cake or something. But ask God for a plan, a strategy. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. There are people out there. If we will start to pray about this, we will keep the main thing, the main thing. I tell you, great joy will come to your life. God will bless you in ways that are not quite there yet for you, but he has them for you. God will move in your life. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, to me today, as we have just looked in your word, Jesus, and we know your heartbeat was souls of men and women. You see, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Right now, we come against the shackles of fear. Fear, I break you in Jesus' name. God, I release faith. Lord, I release hope and heart and fresh passion right now. We release, Lord, salvations in this church. Lord, that this church, Father, which has a great heritage, Lord, will begin to see fire coming in new and exciting ways. That, Lord, each one of us would respond and take one step forward in you in sharing our faith, in being a light, a witness, Lord, and soul. So, God, thank you. We turn our heart towards you afresh in this area. Thank you, Lord. If we've been a bit slack, we pray you'd cleanse and forgive us now and help us to turn. Now, I want you just for a moment, just with your eyes closed, maybe God is bringing someone to your mind that doesn't know the Lord, a family member, a neighbor, a colleague, and just say, God, please guide me. And I believe the first step that the Lord would say is start to pray for that person. So as I'm praying right now, just have your heart open and let God bring someone to mind. Father, we pray right now for each one of us. You bring to our heart and mind one or two people that we can pray for and reach out to. So Father, we pray, save them, touch them. We bind demons of fear and blindness on their lives. God, we release salvation for them right now. Jesus, your word says, you are not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. We pray, God, grant them the gift of repentance through your goodness, through godly sorrow. Father, turn our hearts. Bring them to you, we pray. Lord, lift faith in our hearts, Lord, to believe you, that you can do what you say in your word today. Now, if you here would like to say, God, I want to step up at least one step in my sharing faith with other people, would you just raise your hand? I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out, but I'm just going to pray for you and just ask that God would help you. You know, he wants all of us. He said, be my witnesses. If that's you, lift your hand. I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone that has raised their hands this morning. I know what it's like, Lord, to be inactive. I was for many years. And I pray, Father, you have helped stir us up. Stir us, Holy Spirit. Lord, cause us to get going in God. We just release them from the shackles of fear, Lord, of intimidation. We break them now. We release them in a fresh new life, God, to flow in you, to flow in the Pentecostal power of heaven above. But as they go, Lord, even here today, out into the marketplace, into the family, into wherever they may go, and throughout this week, God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help them to remember daily to pray. Father, with your grace, to go and introduce Christ into the conversation in a natural and an easy way. That, Father, they would know, Lord, that tennis match thing, and they would connect well, Father, with that, respecting the other people, that, Lord, they would see God's grace and hand at work. They would feed the fire. Lord, they would know, Lord, they can rest and relax in you. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Your commands are not burdensome. We rest in you now, Holy Spirit. We rest in
our God. We're not going to strive and struggle and get a guilt trip, Lord. No, we're going to rest in you and allow God to flow through us today as we will pray and, Lord, seek to go. Thank you now for hearing the prayer of everyone today. Thanks, Lord, for fresh release and sharing the harvest that you are preparing through uncertain times. In your mighty name. Now, just with your eyes still closed, look, you may come to church regularly. So excuse me because I do this in different places, but you know, you don't really know where you stand with God. Going to church is important. Good works are important, but neither will save you. The Bible is clear that only Jesus Christ saves us, and he loved you. He has a plan for you. Every one of us has a problem. It's called sin. I have it. And Jesus had to die for me on the cross. He had to die for you. And it's not going to happen. But if you die tonight, do you know you would go to heaven or do you hope? God wants you to know. Romans 8 said, God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit. We are children of God. God wants you to know. So I'm not going to call you forward today. But I'm going to ask you if you would like to make sure and certain of your salvation. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're all going to pray it together. Or if you once walked with God, but you're not at the moment, but you'd like to, then I would like you just to raise your hand right now. I'm going to see that hand and I'm going to pray that prayer. If you want to make sure of your salvation today, if you feel, yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. You can put that down. Is there someone else here today? You're coming to church. That's not what I'm saying. But do you know when you stand with God? That's the thing. The Bible says it's appointed to man who wants to die, then the judgment. We stand before God. The blood of Jesus Christ is over us. God lets us into heaven. He wants us to come. If you want to make sure of your salvation today, please lift your hand up. Let me see it and put it down. I'm just going to pray the prayer. Thank you. That's great. Thank you so much. Good decision. Well done. Is there anyone else today? You're going to make sure, yes, Lord, I want to make sure I am right with you. If that is you today, this is for salvation. Just making sure, if that is you today, lift your hand. Let me see it. We're all going to pray the prayer together. Almost finished. I'm not going to carry on much longer, but if God is knocking, you can feel the knocking, then this is for you. This is so important. Don't delay it. This is for you. Good. Well done. That's great. Good decision. That's great. That's great. Excellent. Okay, we're just going to pray a prayer together out loud, and there are four people that raise their hands, and please all say it for everyone's sake. It's important. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
I thank you that you love me.
I thank you that you love me.
And you died on the cross for me. I ask you now to come into my life. And forgive me, Lord, of every sin. Wash me clean. Make me your child. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And I'm going to heaven to be with you one day. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Let's go up on a mighty hand, shall we? I was very encouraged. We at this conference, I prayed for a guy. He had his back, he had severe back pain, 16 years. I videoed it, and he got instantly healed. I thought, oh, I'm so excited. So I'm just going to pray one general prayer for healing. Okay? So once again, we're just going to stand in our seats. But why don't you reach out to God? And if it'll receive something, what I want you to do is do something you couldn't do before I pray. So I'll pray a prayer of healing. And then just try, you know, if your back's sore, move it around. If your leg's sore, tickle it. Whatever, just do something. And then faith. That's often what the apostles would do. They'd make them stand up and walk. So let's just all stand if we could. And I'm just going to pray a prayer for healing. So if that is you this morning, I want you to believe God. Whether it's a headache pain, whether it's something you can't tell, like cancer. But I want you to believe God for healing. He is the Lord our healer.
Nothing is impossible with God. By His stripes, we have been healed. He sent His word and He healed them. It says that as we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So we're going to reach out now, and I want you to receive healing and believe God this morning. You know that dear man I prayed for, he's got instant healing, he's barely walking with God, you know, but he just reached out in faith and it was just a miracle. So reach out right now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are the Lord our healer, the Lord our great physician, and we pray for your word of healing today. We speak to every sickness, every infirmity, every disease. We command you, devil, take your hand off our bodies now in Jesus' name. We speak the word of healing. Hallelujah. Sickness, go. Hallelujah. Infirmity, leave right now. Blindness, be gone. Cancer, leave. We command headache pain to be loosed in Jesus' name. Back pain, be gone in the name of the Lord. Father, we release healing power today. Thank you, Lord. We receive God. We say thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Just receive your healing. His rest and His finished work on Calvary for you. Hallelujah. By His stripes, you are healed. Now begin to, in faith, do something you couldn't do before. You decide what it is, but do something. Thank you, Father. Receive it, receive it, receive it right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen.